bonus episode. Suck my penis in an open fire.
Christmas time, I'm queer.
Balls off with razor wire.
Christmas time, I'm queer. I'm fucking gay for anime. Christmas time, I'm queer.
Oh yeah, Lawrence.
You got a song for us?
Have you ever heard of, are you familiar with the term a dog whistle?
I've forgotten everything about the outside world. I'm full of Christmas cheer. Dog whistles don't seem like a Christmas thing to me, so.
This one's a dog whistle of reconciliation. I'd like to say this equally to you as much as, well, no, more to you, but as an aside to anyone that had to listen to the last episode.
Is this another apology song? Oh, no.
That was unlistenable. No one wants to sit and listen to us bitch at each other for an hour and 20 minutes. This one, Lawrence.
You really did like an extra 20 minutes for the people.
Lawrence, my friend, this one is for you.
All right, let's hear it.
Greetings, traveler. Lawrence. Stop playing with yourself, I have something to say.
All right, what is it?
Lawrence, you are not just my friend, but the melody to my symphony of joy. Even as I swirl within the mad fugue of despair, you fed me, watered me, and nursed me back to health. As we pedal our track bikes together along this winding rainbow road of friendship, know that whatever life may throw at us, you will always be my brother. I don't even mind that you were gay. No homo.
And now, please stand.
You can't just hit me with that, like,
my humble apologies.
I'm vulnerable right now. I'm like tender. I just got worked the fuck over by a fucking heartbreaking anime, and like,
oh, and I got your present. wrapped in Joss's signature tinfoil.
One of Joss's signature tinfoil presents. What could this be? Let's have a look.
Because it is Christmas after all.
Yes! Oh, I love these. This is going right next to the rest of my collection of Gundam-inspired pins. Actually, I already have.
Which one is that?
This is. Fuck me, I'm not sure.
What if it's not a Gundam? What if we got you a Crumdom?
it's a Gundam. I think it might be like Freedom. It might be Freedom Gundam.
One of the gay ones.
It's one of the gay ones. Yeah. Is this Ipo right here?
Mm-hmm.
I love. Oh my god, he's
looking
so tough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's probably one of the first animes you made me watch.
Yeah. I guess so. Yeah, that set us on the road to anime love.
That's where we are now.
Thank you. There Thank we you, go.
Josh. No problem. All right, with that out of the way, you're gay.
hold up. I don't think you want to be calling me gay that quickly because, first of all, mm-hmm. I accept your apology. Mm. I'll welcome you back into the arms of anime anytime, every time. Doesn't matter how stoned you are off of the your fancy new THC vape.
I could barely speak. I could barely get words out. The real crime that day was that it wasn't funny.
Maybe if we were on camera, like that would have helped. But yeah, no, apology accepted. We hashed it out like adults. We squashed the beef, and ended up having probably one of our best anime talks, which wasn't recorded. Joss was actually coming through with the takes. Y'all missed all of that. But putting that aside for a second, since we're in the giving mood, I got a little something for you as well.
No.
Sure did.
Fuck. Sucker. What a sucker. I'm gonna be so annoying. I'm gonna be so annoying and no one's gonna... Oh shit. It's bigger than mine.
It sure is. Joss, I know you're you always express a certain concern about being on a list. I don't know what that means. But after I got this present for you, you might end up on a certain list. I'm not sure if that's the list you're concerned about, but
cripes. Knowing what might come out of that separate the special solo gooning spot back there, like this could be anything.
My bedroom, you mean?
Could be anything.
They're unwrapping.
I've always wanted to send something by tracked 48-hour post, and now I can if I seal the bag up again. Thank you.
You're not going to be sending it back, I get the feeling. This is what Christmas is all about, baby. Y'all can't see this, but I get to see it.
It's what I've always wanted. I'm gonna pop a cap in some fools.
Joss is now armed. Joss is armed and dangerous.
I'm gonna go on a rampage through the shopping mall so hard. You won't even know. I need a trench coat now. Tomorrow I'm gonna go to the vintage stores and buy myself a trench coat. I've got a little gunny.
Tell him what Santa got you.
Daddy got me a little gun. I love it.
It's got like an eject.
The safety is actually an ejector seat. All right, I'm just gonna load this
bitch up.
It's got like
a mag. It's I like saw someone on Twitter like post a picture of like what was called a fidget blaster, which was a life-sized replica gun.
I'm gonna get them for copyright infringement. I have a fidget blaster in my pants. This is incredible, Lawrence.
Yeah, so it's got like a magazine that like ejects with a button.
Yeah,
and it's got like these little bullets that you can like push into the magazine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you like slide it back in.
This is fucking sick.
It's the magic of Christmas right here, folks.
I'm gonna turn the gun on my family before turning it on myself. Just like I've always dreamed.
that's all I ever wanted for you, with a toy gun, of course. Like,
the other day, I'm in this group chat with some American bitches, and one of them had an altercation with a black gentleman. Oh my gosh. And right. Then yeah. and I kept ribbing her for it because she got him arrested and everything. And she pep. Oh, so that's the thing. She maced him. She fucking maced him.
She was on some observe and report shit. She was like,
they were like fighting over their dogs. Yeah. And then she maced him. Yeah. And then got him arrested. And then she, in the group chat, she was weighing up with the other bitches over whether she should get a taser or a gun.
I don't want to repeat.
And first thing I said was, no one should. She's the dumbest bitch I know. And no one should let her have a gun. And then the second thing was, I'm so fucking jealous that she can be sitting there stewing over that decision, like that eternal decision of do I get myself a taser or a gun? And I know that if I had that choice and I had to sort of to weigh up the choice between a taser and a gun, and I chose gun.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a choice that I'd have to live with for long. So, so thank you.
I'm glad you don't have to make that choice.
This is incredible.
Hopefully, this will satisfy those gun desires somewhat. Because it's really just about fidgeting. I think all of the real like gun owners would agree with me. It's about like loading it up, disassembling it. Ooh,
did that fire a thing?
I think it like it doesn't fire anything, but it like ejects the. Does it like eject
yeah.
the shell?
Oh, that's sick. Okay, so hang on.
So, is there like a shell next to you?
Oh no, I think it just didn't.
It might just be suffering from some like, you know, quality Chinese craftsmanship.
This is sick. I don't know if the shell came out. I think maybe it got stuck, but I'm going to fix that. Whoa, where did that one go? Where did that come from? Worked. Did that fire out the front?
Oh, I think the first shot loaded the chamber.
Yeah. And it comes out the side.
Yeah. Well, like the empty shell comes out the side, and if this had bullets, which luckily it doesn't, Don't shoot.
Sorry.
Joss's trigger discipline extremely poor.
Finger on the trigger.
You never like get accepted into the NRA like that. I'm gonna pick up that shell.
Oh, thank you. Shit, Lawrence. Oh my gosh, you really are the best friend anyone could ever want.
Oh, stop.
What was I going to say? I was going to say something else about guns.
See, I could never own a gun because I'd become like an enormous bitch about it. I'd be like
gun safety, gun cotton wool. Yeah. You'd wrap your little gun
like
in cotton wool.
Gun culture.
Yeah. I'd just walk down the street like, waving it around,
twirl it and shit. I'd be like, Joss, that's such poor finger. Trigger discipline. Don't you aim that thing unless you're trying to blast her head off.
And the fucking white ladies of Hove step in front of me in the queue and Taj fucking whip out a piece. Fucking, I got here first. Let me buy my olives. You slag. I had a really fucking cool gun. Like it was a handgun. It was like it was solid metal. It had none of the like. Discolored like the stupid like legal shit you have to have for a pretend gun. Like if I was an 8-year old black boy in America, they would have killed me for holding. I mean, this would get me killed as well. I had it was one of those, and it fired it was like air pressured. You pumped it up, and then it fired like a whole mag of BBs. And when I was living in the, I must have told you about when I was living in the shed of the drunk punk house.
I remember the shed, yeah. The Doritos diet.
The what?
The Doritos diet.
No, it was chips and beer.
Oh, right.
We were vegan, but none of us cooked.
Oh, yes.
And we lived across the street from a chip shop and a liquor store. Anyway, so I set up like a firing range outside the shed that I lived in. And so every day I'd go out and... shoot up cans and shit. That was the life, and I wish I still had that gun. I think I left it in the house that I was living in just before I first moved to Brighton.
Wait, you owned a gun and you lost it?
Yeah.
It's a Christmas miracle you're still
alive. hopefully. Yeah, it was a pellet gun. It was sick.
Hopefully, this will fill that gun sized void in your
Like it wasn't a BB gun. It was like a proper pellet gun. You could kill a child with it, probably.
Oh, nice.
That's or your wife while she was sleeping with a few well placed pellets.
Cool. Well, I wouldn't do that.
Well, I didn't do that. So, you know.
Yeah, you weren't married. Yeah. So, William Burroughs in the making over here.
I'm reading the Genesis PRH autobiography at the moment, and it starts with a very, very flowery section about PRH going to meet Jen going to meet William Burroughs in his flat in London.
Right. Yeah.
And being worried that Burroughs wanted to fuck him.
Was the worry founded?
No, absolutely not. No. Yeah. Burroughs was a fucking sweetheart. If you think that murderous psycho junkies are.
Oh, it wasn't murder. It was an accident, wasn't it? Like,
was it? Yeah. Yeah. We've had such a nice Christmas.
Yeah.
And this is just like. This is the best.
Yeah, y'all should see Joss right now. They're like just gesticulating with the gun, just like it's like they're Italian. It's like
you know me so well. Just when I think I'm all alone in this world, someone out there that knows me well enough to buy me a gun that I can't do myself any damage with.
So, bringing it back to. The punk house, the drunk punk house, is sleeping in a shed, no heating. Did you have a sleeping bag or some shit?
Yeah, I had I slept in. On the other gun fail. I slept in two sleeping bags. It was like it was that year where it snowed in March or April. It snowed at like the end of March. It was like so fucking cold, and I was sleeping in two sleeping bags, and I woke up one day and there was frost on the inside of that sleeping bag.
That's an awful sight to wake up to.
I really thought I was gonna, like, I really tried to make that shed like a home. I bought a big bookshelf. I had a fold up bed.
It's kind of hilarious.
I had a lamp so I could read.
The efforts that we go to like make wherever we go to into some sort of home,
I mean,
end up getting kicked out of wherever you are within a year, and you're just like left picking up the pieces, trying to figure out where to go next.
This is the longest I've lived in any one place for. Well, since I left home, 16.
Yeah, same here. It's bonkers. Like this city we live in, like, it's almost every year I got to find like a new fucking place. I remember back in 2010 or so, like I got kicked out of a house because I wasn't paying any rent. I had run right out of money.
Right, and you just thought you'd sort of stick it out for however long you could.
Yeah. Until they're like knocking on the door and like dragging me out by my afro curls. And I ended up like sleeping on a friend's couch for like I think like 2 months maybe. I think it was like 2 months of like just being like an enormous fucking drag. It's not like it was like a large place. It was like a fucking en suite.
Yeah.
An en suite with a couch, and this person was kind enough to let me sleep on there. I wasn't doing shit. Like at some point, I was like, okay, this is too much.
How did you find your way out?
Scraped together some money. Begged. I like did some e-begging, and found a place that was cheap enough for me to stay in, like wildly cheap. It was like a really really rubbish place to stay, and then I got the job at the place where I now work, and that managed to pay rent just fine.
Damn.
Yeah.
I think like. Yeah, I seem to like I get stable for a little while, and then everything fucking falls apart, and then I either move from London to Brighton or Brighton to London.
I feel like homelessness, houselessness, is something that's for folks of our refined generation. It's like not unfamiliar. See, this is just proving to me that you should never ever own an actual real gun.
I had a gun accident again. I had the same gun accident as before.
I hope this makes it clear to you that you probably should not own a real gun. This is like the pet rock before you graduate to like a hamster.
But what if like what's worse, having to learn the same lesson over and over and over and over and over again, or like make the mistake once and never get to make it again?
Yeah? What if you like what if you get like real Nietzschean with it, like you make the mistake once and then you gotta like relive it over and over again anyway?
That's true.
Like, I'm not risking that shit.
The eternal return of just being an ass with a gun. You should have made a rubberized tip on the end so you can chew it.
Yeah, we should, like, update the design and, like, send it over to, like, a factory in China.
Chewy gun toy.
Joss is putting the gun in their mouth. Chewing on it like a dog with a chew toy.
Like, and you give the dog like the best toy in the world. I'm wagging my little tail.
I'm glad you like it. So yeah, we're both familiar with discreets. I think it's safe to say. You remember when what's his name? Ed Sheeran? Who? Like Ed Sheeran like made some claim in a newspaper about like being houseless for like some time, and then everyone was like, oh yeah, well he probably just means like he had to like couch surf for a while, so like it's not really being homeless. Not sure what my point was exactly. It sort of is. We watched Tokyo Godfathers.
Yeah, that was the film I've enjoyed the most this year.
All year.
Except for no, what that no. Because I think it was. No, maybe it was this year. I also saw Funeral Parade of Roses.
Yeah.
Which was the film that I enjoyed the most this year.
Mm-hmm.
And this had similar themes, clearly drawn from Funeral Parade of Roses.
I think so, yeah, certainly.
I get so mushy, like uncontrollably mushy over films about like found family and
right.
queer
community
and shit.
Yeah.
When they're good. Like yeah. when not when they're like, all our hair is purple and we live in a throuple and we listen to indie music.
Sure.
Like nothing that Michael Cera would star in. I think Michael Cera's ever been in a... I don't know many actors. I said a name.
I think
I was thinking of the other one, Mr. Page.
I think I know what you mean.
I'm thinking of Juno. Like, no, anyway,
Juno's co-starred.
Juno's a pro-life film.
They've co-starred in several things. It's like a pro-life film with like the in the guise of like some sort of queer feminine empowerment.
I saw that film in the cinema when I was like 15 or 16, and yeah. I wasn't like particularly particularly like aware of the world around me that much at that point. Like, I was still a fucking idiot, but I went out that thinking, saying that this is a fucking weird pro-life movie. It was bizarre. Why is everyone saying this is good? Mm. Why is Kimmy Dawson doing the soundtrack?
Yeah.
Money, and she deserves it. But yeah.
I think I remember liking it.
I
am also a huge fan.
You're also a faggot.
Yeah.
It's like you're doing it yourself today. I don't even need to do it. but yeah, I that film was fucking fantastic. And there was another link to Funeral Parade of Roses in that. So Funeral Parade of Roses was heavily influenced by Kubrick.
Oh yeah.
And Clockwork Orange.
Sure.
And then Tokyo Godfathers ended with a sort of weird sci-fi version of Beethoven's Ninth.
Oh, what now?
Beethoven's Ninth Symphony.
Oh right. Yes. I thought you said Bateman's knife.
Bateman's knife. Yeah.
Beethoven's knife. Yes.
Bateman's knife. That'd be a great name for some kind of incel band.
Incel punk.
Incel like power pop.
Yeah.
Do you like Hootie and the Blowfish style power pop?
I can see Michael Cera on a like a Rickenbacker bass. Going nuts.
But yeah, so I think like there was that link there as well. And then, but yeah, no, what was it? Tell us about the film.
Oh, you like, watched you it too?
I know, but do the facts. Do your bit where you do the facts.
Sure, okay. You know how the guy, the homeless guy, Gin, hits the young homeless girl Miyuki,
mm-hmm.
and she says, "You hit me. My own father never even hit me."
Mm-mm-mm.
That is a reference to Mobile Suit Gundam
1979. No.
Yeah.
How incredibly gay.
that's my fact about the anime right there.
Sick. When was it made?
Oh, I forgot.
Damn.
I'm sorry. Oh. I'm not on the ball. I'm in holiday mode. The style of the film, the choice of like musical pieces, like the character design, the animation, did this seem familiar to you in any way? There was a cameo appearance actually.
There was a cameo appearance.
You may not have noticed it.
No, I didn't.
Well, I actually like stood up and did my autistic thing and said, "That's Paprika."
Did you? I think no, I was in the zone.
I'm exaggerating. I
did an autistic thing.
Yeah, you did?
Yeah. When Jin mentioned that he used to be a Kirin writer, I did a little autistic flap.
Oh, you did?
Because track bikes are my...
Yeah, my one true love. He was lying, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's still a hero to me.
Oh yeah, no, he proved that.
Yeah. He could have been a contender. And running a bike shop is cool as fuck anyway.
Yes.
I don't know why they ragged him for that. That was badass.
Yeah.
Right, running a bike shop is cool. Maybe it was Blue Lug.
They didn't rag on him for running a bike shop. They ragged on him for like running up an enormous gambling debt and leaving his family and then lying about it, saying that his wife and daughter died. And being too much of a coward to step up as a dad, but I think he
what are you redeemed running from? Himself.
They're all running from something, right?
Mm.
But yeah, back to the style of the film. Mm. Did they ring any bells in terms of like anime auteurs, perhaps?
It reminded me a little bit of like Grave of the Fireflies.
It did.
The animation style. But maybe not. But it didn't like. I'm not that anime fluent.
Sure. Well, you've seen a couple of like Satoshi Kon films, yeah.
Which one's that?
Paprika.
I haven't seen Paprika.
Oh, you haven't?
No, I've heard it's really good.
Have you seen Millennium Actress?
No.
Oh, have you seen Perfect Blue?
No.
Oh my god. Oh, well, shit, I thought you saw like a couple of Satoshi Kon films at least.
No, I don't think so. Oh. Well, not if that's them. I haven't seen them.
Oh, whoa. Oh, well, shit. Well, then we got some films to watch. The director of this film is Satoshi Kon.
Okay.
And he's directed a number of like just landmark seminal anime films. Using different styles and themes, and inspired many like Hollywood's features that like went on to, you know, make lots of money. Some would say many filmmakers ripped him off.
Oh, really? Like, what films have ripped him off?
Because
the script in this film was fucking fantastic as well.
Yeah,
like the beats in the script were just so good. It was like, yeah, it wasn't like reading some fucking dumb stupid anime like the one we watched last week. Like, it was like genuine, like smart, like well paced writing, and the jokes were funny.
They landed. Yeah,
the jokes were fucking funny. Yeah. Even the ones at the expense of the the transfer man.
Sure, yeah.
Or gay boy, as they call them in Japanese.
What now?
Gay boy. Hmm? They're called gay boys.
In Japan. Oh, right, in Japan. Yeah. Right, I'm sorry. I thought you said chapeau noir.
Chapeau noir.
Yeah, like a black hat. It's confused for a second there. I think that's one of the recurring things that come through in his films is like this reverence for like humanity and like even when they're in most dire states, like lost without anywhere to go. Mm-hmm. You can call upon something deep within. You know you can trust on this human impulse that is found within all of us.
Also reminded me the animation style and the sort of and a lot of the soundtrack as well with the accordions reminded me of. Have you ever seen this French animated film called Triplets of Bellevue?
Yeah,
it reminded me of that.
Triplets of Belleville, yeah.
Of Belleville, that's it. Yeah. I'd love to see that again. Actually, that's a good bicycle film.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of cycling in there, isn't there? I remember that. Yeah.
I don't know. You were picking up humanity or something.
I was trying to string something together, but I wasn't quite satisfied with what I came up with. Mm-hmm. I think we're gonna have to like visit some Satoshi Kon films together and like.
Let's keep the slop in. Let's drip in some slop.
I'll make sure. Make sure we're nice and fat on slop.
I do enjoy the slop. But not half as much as I enjoyed that. That was,
yeah. Yeah, we gotta remember every once in a while what we do it for, why we love anime. Mm. And I won't lie, I stick my nose in the slop and gobble it up like a fat little piggy. That's me. Yeah. But every once in a while, you gotta remember.
This sounds actually really good because I think I made a honking sound before, and it sounds really good in the headphones.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You're doing this for you.
This one's for you, traveler. It's nice. Some Jocelop.
So, bringing it back to the movie. I hadn't seen Funeral Parade of Roses the first time I saw Tokyo Godfather, so I couldn't make those parallels. And I think it's difficult to make parallels with other queer Japanese works because, like, the way that they go about for queer identity in Japan, like it differs like quite a bit from from how we look at it here.
I mean, both of them are pretty sort of the disdain. There's the clear sort of there's like a noble disdain to the way they appear to portray from what I've watched, trans women or gay boys in like the Japanese films that I've seen about them. It's like, yes, they're freaks, but we love them.
Yeah.
Which I kind of dig. Like, both those films, like, the trans characters are treated pretty horrifically. But in both of them, like, I mean, maybe it's because I'm a faggot.
So I've heard,
transgendered that I always end up siding with them anyway. But I think I'd like to think it's because of the depth of which they're portrayed.
I thought this was a really humanizing portrayal. I think if this was something presented in the sort of Western cinematic style that we're accustomed to now, if this was like a Disney production or something, mm-hmm. then it would be like a this gross pandering like fake depiction of like like for the sake of identification or whatever justification they come up with. This felt real. This felt like people down on their luck, given an opportunity, given a chance to enjoy, feel Christmassy, feel the Christmas spirit. Am I boring you, Jazz?
No. I'm fidgeting.
they're putting the gun to their head.
I'm fidgeting. It's comforting.
Fidgeting.
It's my comfort gun. Yes. Oh, I couldn't. Yeah. Sorry. I just needed to go to a happy place.
Sure. Sorry. All right. The film opens with like a sort of like a soup kitchen, like a little Christian soup kitchen that is like organized, and they put on a play for the homeless folks in a park, and like Hana, the transgender woman, is like really really enraptured with like the theatricality and the singing and stuff, and like this character, I'm sure they wish they could just simply return to their own lives. Her old life, return to her home, her mother, and the people who loved her, but due to circumstances, she's homeless, and it's Christmas, and just making the best of like the shit situation they're in, the jokes about like if God could make a virgin Mary pregnant, then perhaps he can make me pregnant as well.
Yeah, but then again,
I thought it was
I don't know that like those jokes were a little bit where they stepped into tropes, because I'm a trans woman, therefore I wish I could have a baby.
Yeah,
was sort of repeated.
Yeah, that
is a little bit like
I get tropey, that. Yeah. I get that certainly, but like, it's Christmas evening.
Mm-hmm. It's Christmas Eve.
Suddenly, like this adorable baby is like foisted on you through circumstance. You don't know what to do.
Search through bins.
You look at your own history
to find a baby.
You realize you have nothing to offer because you're homeless, and you can't take care of a child. But like the other option is to like leave it to die in the cold.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other option is to go to the cops, which we will never do.
Fuck that.
Fuck the cops.
No, but like.
And I'm gonna take my gun and I'm gonna tell them exactly that.
Like
on my way home.
Like I don't ever want to like produce spawn. I'm not interested in babies or children at all. But if someone came through on Christmas nights and we're having a Christmas party together and they brought their baby and I'd be like, oh, I want one of those. I want two of those. Oh my God, I'm gonna keep them.
Really?
Gonna keep them. You're gonna have to.
Yeah. No, I'm always happy to give them back.
Yeah, sure, but you say that, yeah. Right? You say that, right? You just say like, I'm keeping this baby, right?
That's weird.
Yeah.
I've never been into like pictures of babies and shit, pictures of other people's babies and all that bollocks. But I've just had a nephew, mm-hmm. and like I look at his pictures every day. It's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Badass.
Yeah.
It's dead cool. Yeah, I don't show them to anybody, though. I would never fucking inflict them on anybody.
Yeah, sure. So, it is a trope, and it's dumb, but, like, it's also Christmas.
Yeah, it's Christmas.
Babies are cute.
It's Christmas, so we can say, retard faggot. That's what else we've been watching today.
Yeah.
We've been on a real journey today. What was your favorite movie from today?
Oh, my favorite movie?
From today, yeah. Which was the best film?
The Foot Fist Way. Oh, wait.
Really?
Oh, wait. Were we counting Tokyo Godfather as well? Yeah.
Would that change your answer? I just assumed it was the one.
Yeah, no. I think Tokyo Godfather is my fave. It's I think that's the default answer given it's Christmas.
Is there an anime that's as funny as The Foot Fist Way and what was the other one we watched?
Observe and Report.
Or are they all just gay and suck?
No, I don't think anime is gay and shit. Damn, you tricked me. I do think anime is gay, but I don't think it sucks.
Well, if it's gay and doesn't suck, then what use is it?
Yeah.
It's like 60% down.
60%
down? I'm trying to think if you're gay and you're... That's 100... No. 50%.
Are you doing gay math?
I'm doing gay math.
I'm not sure what you're doing.
I'm doing gay math. Didn't they teach you gay math at gay school?
No, I'm street gay.
I went to gay school.
Yeah, I know you mentioned. Mm. The bad kind of gay.
That was the bad kind of gay.
When you're an adult that's gay for kids.
Oh no! Oh, that so it was that school.
Yeah.
But it was a Catholic school.
Yeah.
And even though there was that teacher doing that to kids, we were also skipping classes to fuck each other in the toilets.
Oh,
right.
Oh, sick. that's every British school, isn't it? Yes. Nice.
We'd like text each other on our Nokia 3310s.
Hell yeah.
And leave class at the same time.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Y'all ever play?
Hi, Mum.
Y'all ever play Soggy Biscuit?
No.
Is this a myth or is this like?
I mean, that's gross. That's like American frat boy shit. American frat boys are fucking gross.
Yeah.
Like no one would do that because they wanted to fuck each other. Like,
but they're fucking pigs out here, though, right? In
I wasn't at that level of of schooling. That's a far higher degree.
Does it get gayer the further you go up the income ladder?
Absolutely, it does. Yeah. Well, in like English like boarding schools and shit, the older boys get to have the younger boys as slaves, and they're called fags.
That's right.
They all each have a fag.
It's my personal fag.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I think something like David Cameron was Boris Johnson's fag or something.
I think. Wait, and they just hang out in Parliament together like that?
Yeah. Yeah, they're sucking and fucking they're doing in Parliament. That's why they never get anything done.
That's gotta be.
Unless it's racist, which is something they can all agree on.
Yeah. All right.
Politics now. Politics now. Prime Minister is gay and a faggot. Politics now.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, I can agree with that. That's extremely gay. This is such a fucked up country. What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait. You chose to live here.
Well, I chose to study here.
Mm. How'd that go? You chose not to study here.
Circumstances kept me here. Circumstances, and there are things about this country to love, I think. Not gonna lie. And you know, when you find yourself alone and afraid, with no one else to turn to, you look inward, you look outwards, and you build a family. You build a family around you. Wherever you go, there are people that care, and you count on them.
How many Christmases have
vulnerable.
We had together now?
This is the third one, isn't
third
it?
Third one in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been nice. It's nice.
Yeah. And I think that's the lesson that a Tokyo Godfathers teaches us as well. That's even like the homeless, the yakuza, people just trying to make ends meet. People fuck up. People fail upwards. We're all interconnected. We're all interwoven.
Yeah, I don't know. There are people.
Sometimes it takes a bit of a Christmas miracle to bring us together.
We the scum are connected, but there's I don't know. Like, if I wanted to take that gun and pretend to shoot someone that actually meant anything to the world, then I'd have a hard time finding them. I wouldn't even know where to go. How can I kill Rishi Sunak?
listeners may not notice, but this is just a regular weekly conversation. To the point where I'm pretty sure Joss is an op trying to get me to to like say something incriminating. Like one of their favorite hypotheticals is like, what if you had a bomb?
Yeah.
Go. What if you?
No, it's actually that's a Christmas story. The question is, what if you woke up one day and Father Christmas had left a bomb at the end of your bed? What would you do with it?
Yeah.
What would you do with it?
I would hold it in my arms, cradle it, and try to find its mother.
Mm.
I certainly wouldn't go to the cops.
No, actually, you said you would go to the cops last time.
Well, like...
You said you would take it to the proper authorities because you're a pussy.
You
did.
No.
You did.
Give me a second. I'm thinking. That doesn't seem like something I'd say. I recall saying...
Which is why I was so disappointed with your answer.
I recall saying that I would flip it on the dark web.
No, but then you were racked with guilt about that.
No, I don't think so. I think money would assuage that pretty quickly.
No, I remember you being one of the... Everyone bitches out. Everyone bitches out. No one says, I'm going to blow some motherfuckers up who deserve it.
That takes, like, time, organization...
But you've got the bomb.
That is, like, one element in the master plan.
It's a pretty big one. It's a pretty big element of it. Like, I think, like, once you've got the bomb, just gotta, like, put your head down and run at somebody, right?
Yeah, how would you do that then, huh?
Right.
See how they're trying to entrap me?
I would do it by... Shit. Well, My answer to this question has always been, what would actually happen is, I'd be very excited about the fact that I had a bomb. I would put it somewhere like incredibly at risk of knocking it over in my completely cluttered flat. And then I would get straight onto the internet and research who most deserved to be exploded by my bomb.
You'd research?
and I'd research it to fucking death. Like, just like, constantly umming and erring, weighing up, finding like a who to bomb comparison websites.
already you're like creating like this enormous tree of choices, like this visual novel that you could run straight to the end. You're turning into a fucking open world game. Like, isn't there like an instinctual answer that pops up in your head? Like,
no, because I need to figure out who the fuck I really, really want to.
Who's behind it all?
Yeah. The Rothschilds. Who are they? Can you meet them? Do they do meet and greets?
No.
Rothschilds do book signings?
No one is fucking behind it all.
You can't sign books with tentacles.
No one is behind it all. It's fucking chaos.
What if it turned out that I was behind it all?
Well, then that would be good, because judging by how you handled this gun, you'd probably blow yourself up pretty quickly. Problem sorted. That'd be gay as fuck if it turned out you were behind it all. Been doing a fucking anime podcast with the Prime Instigator.
Prime Instigator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if the Tokyo Godfathers found a bomb instead of a baby? How do you think each of the characters would react? Ooh. What would they say? So they're rifling through the junk looking for...
Okay, so what's her name?
Hannah
would blow herself up in a melodramatic fugue. Like
she'd get melodramatic with it.
Yeah, 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 yeah. She'd just be constantly... It's a little bit like myself, just sort of like... like sort of whenever things get a bit much, just doing a... A grandiose, like, I'm taking you all down with me kind of gesture.
Yeah, sure. I can see that.
Yeah. Jin would, first, he'd spend at least one night using it as a pillow. because he forgot he had a bomb. He'd be carrying it very carefully, and then find a bottle of liquor on bottle of sake on a gravestone, and take a seat on the bomb to have a drink. Mm. And then he would probably trade it for some kind of stand-in for fool's gold. He'd go on a fool's errand with it, and then the girl would blow up her high school.
I agree with these. I think you got it. I think you nailed it. Yeah, I think Gin might be convinced to like trade it in like a really shit deal. Like he would run into some
magic beans. Well, as I said, like a fool's gold type situation. I should have said a magic beans type situation.
Sure. Yeah. That's definitely what would happen, I think.
Or like he'd have the bomb in one bag and like his stinky street socks in another bag, and he'd accidentally give the Yakuza the stinky street socks back. And then hijinks would ensue.
One of my favorite scenes in the movie is like when they run into the Yakuza is trapped under the car, mm-hmm. and he brings them back to his daughter's wedding. Like, daughter's wedding day. And like last week you asked, oh, is it like a Yakuza film? And I said no, and I forgot there's like just a whole bunch of Yakuza that like come through and like just do a fucking actual Godfather reference basically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've never seen The Godfather.
And then the guy gets shot in like a really awesome dramatic and like a really well animated
scene. The pacing
scene
was just fantastic.
Yeah. I thought the Spanish speaking guy should have kept the wig on. He was very hot.
Yeah, she was hot.
Wait, let me.
She served a ton of lead into that Yakuza. Yes, bitch.
I refuse to do more than a fucking hour. How am I going to do another hour and 20 minutes again? What was I saying? Yeah, and then it leads to Miyuki, like, temporarily being adopted by, like, these two a lady with the big titties.
Yeah. Oh, have you ever seen Oh Lucky Man?
No, I haven't.
That's a really good film. Oh, it's like 3 hours long. It's Malcolm McDowell. So he like came up with the idea for it or something. A bit unclear because he didn't actually write it. I thought maybe he wrote it with the director of If, the first movie that Malcolm McDowell was in.
The film about gay British school lads.
Yeah. With a gun. it's like this like incredible like 3 hour like farce of like a just a like it's like a salesman, coffee salesman like going through like sort of weird England. And getting into various, like, increasingly, like, bizarre scrapes. And in one of them, he, does he pass out in a church? Or he, gets in a car crash or something. And then he's, like, literally nursed back to health by the teat of an older church lady in the church. It's really good.
Hell yeah. That's what the NHS needs to implement. Mm. Joss is just fidgeting away with the fidget blaster.
Is that what it's called? A fidget blaster?
That's what they call it.
It's a real ass cult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a 1911 or some shit.
Yeah.
Alright. You wanna 1 out of 10, what do you rate Tokyo Godfathers?
I rate this one 10 dumpster babies and a big trans mama out of 10 of them, 10 of those two things.
Yeah,
that was a fucking fantastic film. It was so well written, it was so well paced, it was really good looking, it was sort of timeless. And it had just my particular kind of queerbaiting, which is a sort of self-hating kind of queerbaiting.
Sure. Yeah. I hear you.
It's the kind of queerbait that queers would hate. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah, I think I'd give it a 10 out of 10 as well. It's fucking Christmas. I'm feeling generous. There were a lot of things that I wanted to talk about, actually, but just the way that the characters are written, like the space to develop and breathe that they get, like they're not like these fully fleshed out individuals. There's like moments of there's ambiguity and like haziness in their backgrounds. You know, when Hana alludes to her partner slipping on a bar of soap and breaking his neck, like mm-hmm. You know, it's not true.
Yeah, all unreliable narrators.
Yeah, and Miyuki and her relationship with her father, like, you know that, like, her cat is involved somehow, but you never know just what went down, and you know it's got to be, like, more to it than just her cat.
Yeah.
What a film.
And I liked how it didn't do the thing that a lot of the slop that we've been watching does, which is like, oh, this is the bit for this character's backstory now. Here it is. That's done. Now there's no more development, really, other than development of the power fantasy.
Yeah, yeah.
And this actually was a power fantasy.
Was it?
Like, yeah. They all became heroes at the end.
Yeah.
And then they each performed like a superhuman act at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
When Hannah and the baby were like sort of rescued by a gust of wind, I nearly sobbed. I nearly fucking sobbed. Like, I was all welled up, and I thought I was about to go.
All right. Well, that's our goal for the next one, is to push Josh over the edge.
Fuck. Okay. I mean, I've been teasing this week's anime.
I'm
really, really, really enjoying it.
Yeah.
But more about that later.
We're watching Super Cub.
Super Cub.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I've got a Super Chub on for Super Cub.
Super Chub for Super Cub. All right. Merry
Super
Christmas.
Super Chub Extreme.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you for podcasting with me, Joss. Thank you for
penis
spending your
fire.
Christmas with me. Yeah, I'm a end the recording now.